What's up, everybody, and welcome back to the Stretch 4 podcast. I'm your host, Peter Tran, and on the line, I got my pick and pop partner, Josh Cohen. How you doing?
I'm only here to remind everyone in the audience that the Toronto Raptors won the championship last season, because most have forgot already.
I know I forgot.
Rajon Walia. That answer is unacceptable.
Sorry, man. Rajon Walia, the banger of the paint. How you feeling?
I'm feeling good. I feel a lot better now that we're talking NBA. It's like a long off season now that July's over.
It's weird now, eh? Like, the most current news you're getting stuff out of Team USA, which who cares, because it's like mostly Celtics. And Michael Beasley getting suspended. Who cares?
Yeah, it's like you're literally at slim pickings. But you know what? Just got to get ready for the preseason starting in September and then keep rolling from there.
Oh, man. We're going to make it really interesting. We're going to go back to our conference tiers. So every conference, or each conference we're doing, we're splitting into five tiers, three teams each. And let's start with the invigorating tier five of the Western Conference. Raj, who do you have?
Oof. Am I going to go? We starting from the bottom, eh?
Yeah, man. Let's build up the hype.
Yeah, I think the West is very interesting. I think you have like just the deeper conference, and the teams that are going to be in the bottom are teams that in a couple of years will be contending. I think one team that belongs in the bottom, just based off of the offseason moves and the players they have, is Memphis, sadly. They're definitely a tier five team, but I think they'll be an exciting tier five, and like you have hope for the future there. There's not that many expectations. Another team that I think surprisingly... or not will be there is going to be the OKC Thunder. Surprising, because if you asked someone like 2 months ago, like would they be anywhere close to the bottom, you'd be like, hell no, not with Paul George and Russell Westbrook.
Suck it, Chris Paul.
Wait, tier five?
Yeah. The OKC Thunder, the Memphis Grizzlies. And I'm going to, I was debating here, but I don't think the Suns got that much better. I think they'll win more games, but I think they'll still be at the bottom of the conference.
Josh, why do you disagree? That's the exact same thing I have, too. I have Suns, Grizzlies, OKC at the bottom.
Yeah, no particular order.
Yeah, fine.
Well, with my tiers, I just see it as, you know, two teams at the very bottom. And then I can see OKC being more competitive than these two teams easily. And they're them being in, like, tier four, maybe even tier three if everyone stays healthy.
Wow, wow. Where's all this OKC love, or is this just straight up Chris Paul like infatuation?
No, it's not even that. I mean, they still have Gallinari too, and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander as well. I think you put those two in the backcourt with Gallinari and Steven Adams, like you can run a pretty competent offense. And then defensively, they're not that bad if you look at the roster. It's just they don't really have a lot of depth, which is the biggest issue. But the starting lineup isn't that bad.
That's always been an OKC issue too, right? Lack of depth. Even when they had... like the 1 year that they went to the finals, it was basically just Harden off the bench. And now it's literally nobody else.
Don't forget about Nick Collison, please.
Yeah, shouts to Nick Collison. One of the last guys to stay with the team forever. Also, shouts to Udonis Haslem. Re-signed for another year. How about that for August news?
I just remember the day that Haslem was supposed to be traded to the Raptors, and he's just like, I'm not playing there.
What?
Yeah, wasn't he supposed to get traded and just refused?
No, that was morning.
Oh, my bad.
That was Alonzo, man. Oh,
my bad.
How dare you besmirch the name of Udonis Haslem?
Yeah, seriously, UD40. Don't worry, you were young. We'll forgive you for this one. How do you think the Suns will fare this year? They're like the Suns and the Grizzlies are definitely at the bottom, right?
Yeah, I think the Suns have more veteran-type talent, guys who are actually ready to be NBA players. Even like younger veteran types, like Kelly Oubre, for example, like Memphis doesn't really have a lot of those guys in their starting lineup.
They have JV.
Who's that?
They have JV, your boy.
Well, I mean, they got him, but beyond that, I mean, they have two really good prospects with Jaren Jackson and John Morant. And they obviously they have Bruno, who's going to be a superstar in about 3 years, 4 years.
A summer league superstar, man.
Yeah, he played really well this year, and he actually played pretty well at the end of last year, too. But, you know, Memphis will be fun to watch in terms of being, like, an up-tempo team. They're going to have a ton of points, obviously.
Yeah.
But Phoenix, nobody really knows what they're doing. I don't even think they know what they're doing either.
Yeah, like, I don't think they got much better. Like, obviously, their roster looks better, but if you just look at their squad, like, I don't think they're going to be competing anywhere close to a playoff spot. And in the West, it really kind of looks like there's really, I know we're doing five tiers, but there's like the playoff teams, the teams that are almost playoff teams, and then there's the rest. And Phoenix definitely falls into the rest category. So I don't know why you think OKC is going to be that much better. I think I won't be surprised if they end up even trying to get a bit younger, get rid of Adams or Chris Paul as the season goes on. And they're looking to pretty much pull in a Memphis as well and just like look for a five-year goal instead of trying to get to the playoffs in 1 or 2 years.
My prediction is contingent on Chris Paul staying for most of, if not the entire season, though. I mean, they try to trade him after the trade was already completed with Westbrook, and they couldn't find a suitor. So if they can't find a suitor at the trade deadline, I don't know. I think this team is a lot better than Memphis and Phoenix. They have a lot more established talent, and I think that they'll have a pretty good system on offense with two guys that can really create off the dribble with Chris Paul and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
How dare you besmirch the name of Ricky Rubio in Phoenix? The disrespect, man.
Ricky Rubio, yeah, I hope he actually fits well there, too, because if he does, he can make DeAndre Ayton a pretty good player.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, Phoenix should be fun to watch. It's just, like Memphis, they just don't have a lot of established guys, and they're going to play really fast, sort of like, you know, headless chickens out there, and hope for the best.
Headless goats. Remember, Phoenix is all about bringing goats in.
And they're going to be taking a lot of shits on the court this year, that's for sure.
Oh, man. That's sad. Poor DeAndre Ayton. All right, let's move on. Tier 4, Josh, what you got?
I mean, for Tier 4, I had OKC, and then Minnesota is another team that I have in Tier 4 as well. And then in Tier 3, just moving on.
Wait, hold on.
You're breaking the rules. There's supposed to be three teams per tier.
That's the rules? Ugh.
That's what we did for the East. That was your idea.
All right, then. I guess I'll put Minnesota in Tier 5 then. I think they have a chance of, like, they're the top team on, you know, in terms of Jason Alford, D'Angelo Russell, I think. At the trade deadline. I mean, they have a player that I think Golden State's going to want, and Robert Covington too. But I'm not sure that Golden State's going to want to trade, you know, young star for, you know, a player like Covington and picks, I guess.
Definitely picks. Wait, so you have the Wolves behind OKC?
I would say so. If the rosters stay the same, I think OKC's roster is better right now.
Wow.
Damn. That's... I don't believe in Kat or Wiggins. Yeah.
No, I love Cat. Wiggins is a whole nother story.
Yo, Andrew Wiggins training with Ben Simmons in the offseason?
Oh my god, that's disaster. They're probably having a competition like who can shoot as many baskets and not score. Like Wiggins has the record at 0-for-17 in game. Simmons hasn't even tried 17 shots the whole year, so
harsh.
Well, the disaster is whoever has to, you know, move the rims after they destroy them, because there are gonna be a lot of bricks thrown up there. I mean, you have Jeff Teague on an expiring contract, so he's going to be playing for money, obviously. But they don't have a lot of depth off the bench. They have some guys last year that stepped into roles, you know, Diop, Bates Diop, and also Okogie, who played pretty well the second part of last year. But again, they're not established, and I don't know. I love Cat, but there's not a lot around him.
And they lost Taj Gibson.
And he lost Sarge, too.
Where? Oh, he's in Phoenix, too, isn't he?
Yeah.
Damn. Phoenix might be creeping up to Tier 4.
Pushing the boundaries.
Nah, they're good there.
All right, let's hear your Tier 4. So we know who's in Tier 5 for you. You said Minnesota, Phoenix, and Memphis. Who's in Tier 4, Josh?
Well, I guess I have OKC, and then also... I mean, it pains me to do this because I do it every year pretty much, but I think the Spurs are going to be in Tier 4. Like, if you look at their roster, they have a lot of guys that need to play, and I'm not sure they have enough spots for them, you know? Like, even look at the starting backcourt. You have, you know, Murray, you have DeMar DeRozan. He's coming back off injury, obviously, with DeJounte Murray, but Derek White, too. Are they going to start those two plus DeRozan? Is there enough shooting in the backcourt? They have enough depth up front, like quality depth up front with LaMarcus and Jakob Poeltl.
Him.
Hello.
Sorry.
And, they have a lot of guys off the bench. I just don't know if it's all going to fit this year. And then I think LaMarcus is going into his last year again. So.
No. He's got 2 years.
He's got 2 years left?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just not sure how that roster fits. But it is the Spurs, so they'll probably end up with the 8 seed. And, you know, I'll look stupid again. But I think they are ultimately my tier 4. And then also, I think you have to put New Orleans in there too. I was debating between them and Sacramento, but I think Sacramento has more quality depth and more established guys. And I think Fox is going to be a standout star this year too.
Do you think Buddy Hield continues to shoot that well? Because he was on like some crazy shit last year, for lack of better terms.
I mean, if they keep playing up tempo, I think that's his play style. He's getting a lot of open shots and, you know, they have tempo offense and getting shots early in the shot clock when defenses can't really key on them as much. But I'm not sure how much progression there's going to be on his end of things. I mean, if he plays the same way and they have Marvin Bagley going into his second year is going to make a big step, I think, going into his second year. I think that they'll take another step. And they were pretty close to playoffs up until the last month of the season where they sort of cratered, but I think they'll take another step this year. And they better with the guys that they signed for long-term contracts.
Yep. Okay, let's go back to tier four. Sorry for distracting.
Peter, who do you have?
I have the Wolves, Pelicans, and the Kings. So that's why I was kind of iffy about the Kings in there instead of the Spurs, but I can deal with both. Yeah. Those two teams, I think, are the most interchangeable out of the group. No. But the Pelicans, like just being that young, they have to be in tier four, right?
Yeah.
Despite how good Zion might be this year, which, you know, he might be amazing, but
he's not going to be as good as everyone thinks he is.
No. I you know what? Surprisingly, I have Dallas in there.
Wow.
I have Minnesota. Wow. Minnesota for sure in tier four. I think Dallas and New Orleans are going to be like the better teams out of those tier four teams. I think they'll be close to tier three, along with Sacramento. But I really do think Sacramento, just having played kind of a season more or less with the same team, with the same players, like I think there's a lot for them to gain. They have a new coach in Luke Walton, so we'll see how that works out. But I think Dallas is still very much an unproven product, and I think they're coming off of a year where Luka played amazing, but Porzingis is coming off an injury. I don't think they're going to get rolling until later in the year, and I don't really think they're going to make a playoff push by any means. I think they're going to be entertaining, and so will New Orleans, but they're not going to be a playoff team.
Well, I guess this conversation is also bleeding into tier three, so Dallas is my sleeper team. I think that if with Luka and Porzingis, you have two guys that can easily be top 15 players next year. And if Porzingis is a top 15 guy, which I think Luka is pretty much a lock to be top 20 at least, you put those two guys together with the parts that they were able to sign in the offseason, I think the team structure works. And if those two guys produce on a nightly basis, that team can easily be like a 6-8 seed for sure.
They didn't actually do that much in terms of getting new players, right? They got brought back Seth Curry from a few years ago, and then they got Boban.
Yeah, they got Boban right too.
Oh, true. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, they didn't make their team like we're not talking about big names. They've obviously made their roster like more complete. But I think had they gotten another starter, especially a wing, I think they could have been dangerous, but I don't see them being better than the Spurs or the Kings. I know, and now we're talking about tier three. I might as well just go say it. I think the Spurs. Yeah, well, I'm just gonna jump right into it. I think.
Hold on. Can we touch base with the Pelicans real quick? Because we sort of just like zoomed over them. They did get like the number one draft pick, signed JJ Redick, brought in like half the Lakers. I mean, this team did do a lot during the offseason. I don't want to just skip over them as if nothing happened.
Yeah, I'll go first. I think their team has a lot of starting caliber players, but only 5 players can start, and like usually 6 or 7 have like play meaningful minutes. And like they even added Derek Favors. And they have like 10 guys deep. But I think you're not maximizing your talent there. And I don't think their top five are anywhere as good as the playoff teams in the West. But they have a good roster. And they'll be deep. So if injuries come, they'll have more than enough. But I don't think Zion's going to have as big of an impact as what people are saying. And I don't know. I just don't see them making the playoffs. But I think it'll be exciting for New Orleans. Something to cheer about.
Yeah, they'll actually bring people into the seats, which they haven't really done over the past few years with Anthony Davis complaining and then being injured at the same time. Right? But Zion Williamson, rookie of the year? Yeah?
No.
Really?
Maybe John Morant is going to be the rookie of the year.
Oh.
Interesting. There's also two big question marks around that team. Brandon Ingram, we don't know what's happening with his clot situation in his arms. That might actually really hamper his career, unfortunately. And then we also have the issue with Lonzo Ball. Like, how he's obviously like an NBA caliber player, but how effective is he? Is he really like a number two overall draft pick, or is he a player that was just overhyped because of, well, we all know his dad. So,
well, I don't think it really matters if he was overhyped, right? As long as he's a starting caliber player, I think that's all they really need out of him. Or not even a starter. He might not be a starter. He might just be the sixth man off the bench behind Drew and JJ Redick.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Who would you have Redick off the bench?
I think you have to. I mean, if you want to see what a third-year player has got, I think you have to start him with Holiday, Ingram, and then Zion and Derek Favors. And even though that lineup doesn't have a lot of shooting, and you can bring in Redick off the bench, obviously, in that case. But I think you have to see what you have in Lonzo and see if you want to, you know, commit to him long term, because his contract extension is going to be up next year, I think. So,
yeah,
to see what you have in him.
I think they'll end up starting Redick at the beginning of the year, but Lonzo will eventually take it over, or at least play more meaningful minutes. Like, he might not actually start, but he'll definitely play more minutes.
Same reasoning.
I think it's going to be more so like a lot of small ball. I think Zion's going to play a lot of center this year. And I think that, you know, as the season goes on, I think you're going to see minutes cut for guys like Derek Favors and them just experimenting to see if Brandon Ingram can play a lot of four, if him and Zion actually work as a duo in the front court, things like that. So it's going to be an experimentation type of year. Even though they have a lot of talent, the parts don't really fit, even though they're like a juiced up version of Memphis.
Yeah, but I don't think they're going to be that much better than Memphis. Like, they will be in, like, that's why I put them in tier four. And honestly, I could see the whole experiment not going so well, and then they have pieces that they can sell and really try to build around one or two, like, more established pieces. Because we all know that it doesn't look like Drew Holiday is really part of their long-term plans. Like, he might be around until his contract expires, but he's a hot commodity in the NBA for playoff teams.
Yeah, okay. All right, now you may move on to your tier three, Raj.
All right, well, I said I'd put the Spurs, the Kings as a tier three, and I'm surprisingly going to say the Utah Jazz. I think a lot of teams...
What?
Yeah.
Damn, that was unexpected.
Yeah, like I think they're going to be closer to the top of tier three, but I think just getting their chemistry and... They moved a lot of pieces this year, and their team's going to look quite different. But I just think that those three teams are going to make the playoffs. Maybe not the Kings, but those teams are going to be battling for playoff spots. And they're going to be hard teams to beat come playoff time, but they're going to take some time to get it all together, especially the Spurs and the Jazz. Like, their teams they look different. Spurs because of injury and... Jazz.
Okay, hold on a second. Why do you think the Jazz are going to take a while to have continuity when they bring back their two best players and they're putting shooting around them for once?
So I think with Mike Conley coming in, obviously, like, he's going to take the ball out of Donovan Mitchell's hands, and Donovan Mitchell's going to have to resort to being better off the ball. And obviously they have Bogdanovich, who's going to be a huge addition. But yeah, I think the issue is really who's going to really play the four, and how well they're going to deal with, like, the defensive assignments. Cause, like, they're going to be Boyan's not a traditional four. Like, he's really a two or a three. and there's not enough ball to go around. Three players that are like most effective when they have the ball.
See, I disagree with that. I think that Mitchell and Conley are perfect backcourt pairing because they can both be secondary ball handlers. They can both hit shots when they're stationary, which is what Rubio couldn't do last year.
Yeah, no, I agree. But I just feel like between those like three players and Ingles, like I don't think you have enough variety in your scoring.
I think that Ingles might come off the bench this year, too. I think that Royce O'Neal might be the starter at the three because the West has so many guys that can score on the wing. And Royce O'Neal has been one of the NBA's best-kept secrets. I mean, he shot 39% from three in his first 2 years in the NBA. And everyone's looking for 3-and-D guys, and he's getting paid bare minimum. He's obviously waiting for his first big contract. I think he's like around 24 or 25 years old now. And I think that a lot of people are going to realize just how good he is this upcoming year. And he's already had a top-three defense in the NBA, and now they're going to go from being like a, what, 20th offense in the regular season to maybe top 10 this year with all the shooting around those guys. So I just don't see how they don't get better.
Ingles is 31 years old this year. Royce O'Neal is 26. Just so we can put it into context. Bogdanovich is 30. So he'll probably end up starting at the three.
Again, if the Jazz, I really do see them as like the seventh, sixth seed. In the playoffs or going into the playoffs. I think you can maybe interchange them at the bottom of the second, but I think there's the other teams that are above them are just like better regular season teams than the Jazz will be. But maybe I'm wrong. And again, I like defense, so I hope I'm wrong.
You think that the Warriors will have a better record than the Jazz?
It'll be really close. The Warriors, I think, I won't go into ruin the spoilers, but I think the Warriors are not much better than the Jazz. But I think the Jazz will just take time to get used to each other.
And like, you think the Warriors won't?
Yeah, the Warriors are bringing in D'Angelo Russell and Willie Cauley-Stein. Yeah. And losing Klay for most of the year, right? Like, that's insane.
The fun part is we're going to see like ultimate Steph mode next year. He's going to go for like 35 a game. It's going to be great.
I hope so. That would be awesome. I have them in my third tier as like a 7-8 seed at this point. Because I don't see it meshing very well. D'Angelo and Steph is just going to be a wild-ass pairing.
I just think that their whole system's going to be replaced this year with a lot of pick and roll versus what they were doing before with more motion and off-ball stuff. Like, they ran the least amount of pick and rolls in the NBA last year. And I think the last few years, actually.
Yeah. There was a stat last year that D'Angelo Russell ran more pick and roll than the whole Golden State Warriors team.
Yeah, I was about to bring that up. It's like you're bringing in a guy that is totally against your current identity. So you want to talk about a team that's totally, you know, switching over what they used to do for something entirely new. This is a team. And then you got a bunch of guys that have, you know, been pushed around different areas of the NBA. I mean, the last few years, like, guys going team to team like Alec Burks and Willie Cauley-Stein is, you know, guys, oh, he's been on one team, but he's not really much to write home about. I like Kevon Looney. I like that they brought him back for a steal at like, what was it, $5 million?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Third so, team. I mean, that's good continuity with him. Like, he'll be able to start and play more minutes, I think, this year. But, I don't know. I don't like their bench at all. And they're going to take some time to like figure out what the hell they're going to do besides just have Steph go, you know, Steph mode.
All right, fine. You convinced me.
Thank God.
But
going back to my other team in tier three, like I think Dallas is going to make the playoffs this year. And yeah. I really like their team. I like their depth. I like how the parts fit around Luka and Porzingis. And if Porzingis is like what he was before the injury, like this is a guy that can easily be a top 10 player in a couple of years, if not next year. Like he's the perfect five in today's NBA.
The Mavs have essentially tried to create a lesser version of the 2014 Spurs with guys who know their role, constant ball movement, shooters all around the perimeter, and just a well-coached team, hopefully at least, because yeah, I also have them going to the playoffs.
But that experience, though, like that's what really helped the Spurs get like as far as they did. The Mavs are like on the opposite end of the experience on the spectrum, as in like they're a team with very little like deep playoff experience.
Yeah, that's true.
Or like even regular season success. Like remember Porzingis didn't really play on any playoff quality teams when he was playing for the Knicks, and Luka just has the 1 year under his belt.
Yeah. Yeah, but then you want to talk about teams with like duos, right? And I think that their duo has a chance to be one of the better ones in the NBA. So you look at those two, and then you look at the depth that they have around them, it looks like it's going to fit. I mean, you have guys that came back like Maxi Kleber and Dorian Finney-Smith, who also played really well last year. And then you bring in Curry and DeLon Wright, who played well with Memphis last year. I just think that the parts fit. I think their defense is going to be pretty good this year, too, with Porzingis being back in the fold. And him and Kleber are going to average a lot of blocks this season. And your Carlisle is one of the better coaches in the NBA, so I just think it's going to work out.
It might be one of those situations where we're overestimating how good they'll be in the first season, but even if not this year, the Mavs will be a beast in like 2 to 3 years.
Yeah, I could see that. Just not this year yet.
Yeah, that's what I think. You can convince me that they won't make the playoffs this year, but I could see them fighting for the eighth spot.
Yeah. They're like it's like a hit or miss, really.
Yeah, I have them and the Spurs going head to head for the eighth spot.
Yeah. So who else is in your tier three, Josh? You said the Mavs.
Sacramento is my last team. So Golden State and Dallas and Sacramento. So I think Sacramento is going to be a team that fights for the playoffs, but ultimately just misses because Dallas will get in.
I've heard that story before.
Yeah, I have the Mavs, Spurs, and Warriors, so we've gone through them all. Yo, have you ever thought about starting your own podcast? When I was trying to get this podcast off the ground, I had a lot of questions. How do I record an episode? How do I get my show onto all the apps that people like to listen to? How do you make money? The answer was pretty simple for me. I started using Anchor. Anchor is a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing your podcast. And best of all, it's 100% free and super easy to use. And now, Anchor can match you with great sponsors who want to advertise in your podcast. So that means you can get paid immediately, like right away. In fact, that's what I'm doing right now by reading you this ad. Super simple. So if you always wanted to start a podcast, let's start now. Go to anchor.fm/start to join me and the diverse community of producers using Anchor. Again, that's anchor.fm/start. See you soon. All right, tier two. I'll take the lead on this one. I've got the Blazers, the Rockets, and my beloved Denver Nuggets.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh, wow.
Yeah, it's...
Explain yourself.
I don't
you
see
have
them.
You have a lot of explaining to do because your Nuggets were, what... Second best team, third best record in the NBA, or fourth best record in the NBA last year. Like, they seem like a team on the rise. One more year under their belt. Like, why are they dropping down to the second tier?
I just think that the rest of the West is, like, the top tiers of the West has just gotten so much stronger. Like, the Nuggets are obviously amazing. Nikola Jokic is a beast, but he's also going to be playing in the World Championships this summer. So he's not going to get very much rest. That might actually help him, to be honest. He could stand.
And he'll get back into shape too.
Yeah. they could surprise me and make the top three, but I could also see the Jazz, Clippers, and Lakers being the top three. That's why. I could see the Lakers taking over that third spot just if LeBron decides to go beast mode. But otherwise, I would have the Nuggets up there. Simple as that. I mean, they're going to be a beast. They got Jeremy Grant or Jarian? Jeremy, right? From the Thunder last year? Jeremy Grant?
Yeah. Jeremy.
Yeah, Jeremy Grant's going to be great. I mean, this team is just... They're going to keep improving every year. Young guys will just get better. Jamal Murray might be an all-star in a couple of years. But for right now, I mean, they might have to wait another year to be a real contender.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to spill the beans on my top two. Tier two. I don't have the Nuggets. I actually have the LA Clippers, the Utah Jazz, and the Portland Trail Blazers.
Wow.
Yeah. The Clippers, I think it's just because they're going to be resting Kawhi and also Paul George over the course of the season. I think that they clearly made that a priority, both camps, and Paul George is coming off like the double shoulder surgery. So I could just see them taking a lot of games off. And I think the Clippers are kind of a story where they overperformed and they kind of made their way onto the radar as a team that, like, oh my God, you add one or two pieces, like, this team is going to be unstoppable. Like, I think over the course of last year, they just outplayed their expectations and like blew them out of the water by like 15 games. And I don't think that's going to continue. Like, I don't think their role players are going to be as effective this year. But obviously they have two superstars on their team. And I think, like I said, the Jazz, I think they'll take time. I could see them ending up the fifth, sixth seed.
So that's why.
Didn't you say the Jazz were in tier three before?
Yeah. So they moved up to the bottom of tier two.
And I think the Trailblazers.
So who did you move to tier three?
I moved the Golden State. Yeah. And then the Portland Trailblazers are probably going to be like where they always are, like fourth, fifth seed.
Yeah, I have the Blazers at the somewhere around four or five as well. I want to see Hassan Whiteside on this team, because maybe last year getting his ass like glued to the bench may have done something to him. I'm hoping it did.
It's all coming together for him this year just because he's going to be able to clean up after the guards and have so many opportunities underneath the rim, plus the contract season. So you combine those two things together, getting easy opportunities off the pick and roll and easy dives in the basket, easy offensive rebounds because two guys go to their guards, and then the option of getting paid next year. He's going to have a monster year this year.
Average 20 and 12?
He might, up until when Nurkic comes back.
Yeah, when's he projected to come back?
March-ish.
Yeah, I think it's actually January is what I read. It's around a 10-month injury, and I think he broke his leg in March.
All right. Josh, who do you have in your second tier?
I think Portland is an easy choice in the second tier. I think Denver has to be in the second tier as well. Like, I like their talent overall, too. It just... I don't know. I think they actually might be a better playoff team this year than they are a regular season team. I think they have a good chance of making the conference finals this year. Especially if they're able to like package some of their depth and obviously Gary Harris and picks maybe for Bradley Beal. That's the trade that needs to happen this year.
Oh,
and
man.
Then if that happens, then I think they're title favorites.
Get Paul Millsap out of there. I'm over this guy.
They need Paul Millsap if they're going to go to the finals.
Yeah, but I don't know. I like Gary Harris. It's really petty. I just like Gary Harris.
Yeah, you can't have him and Beal on the same team. They're pretty much the same player, except Beal's the, you know, on steroids version of Gary Harris.
Literally might be on steroids.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
Denver, and then as last team, it's a very tough choice.
Are you debating between Houston and the Lakers?
I guess I'll have to go with LA because I think Houston's going to be a really good regular season team, and then they're just kind of bowing around too, like they always do.
Yeah, that was my issue with second tier as well. Houston's going to be very interesting to watch this year between Westbrook and Harden.
Yeah, I think they're going to be a stat heavy. Like, I think they're going to do well and they'll put up great stats. They'll win games, just because they can outscore any team. Like we all know, like come playoff time, like defenses just are better in the NBA. They have more time to game plan. There's more effort. Starters play more minutes. Like, Houston's going to really take advantage of that regular season.
And if they actually commit to defense in the regular season, they have a pretty good shot of winning the championship because they have five guys in their starting lineup that are extremely physical players and big at their positions besides, I guess, Gordon, if you count him as a small forward. But if you count Hart as a small forward, then... they're really big, and they're going to be hard to move. So if they just switch everything on offense, and the guys actually commit to playing defense, then they could be a really good defensive team. But I think you'll be able to see how good they're going to be in the playoffs based on how they play defense in the second half of the season. If they commit to it, or if they don't, then they're just going to bow it again in the second round.
Once they wear down a bit more?
It's not even that. It's just a matter of like the laziness factor, because Westbrook hasn't played defense in like 7 years. And Harden,
the finals.
Pretty much. And Harden, I mean, he's been better the last 2 years, but that's only because of the scheme with him, you know, being able to play as pretty much a big man on defense as they switch so much. He's really good at switching on to power forwards because he's so big in the ass. He's able to push guys out. But, you know, if he's switching on to guards, he's really got to commit to the scheme and pushing guys in the right direction of where the hell defense is, and he hasn't really been good at that his entire career.
I think the teams that are at the top of the conference, and I'm going to say this probably maybe not even a hot take, but I think the Denver Nuggets are going to have the best record in the NBA in the Western Conference. And then I have the Lakers at number two and the Rockets at number three. I think we talked about kind of what the Rockets are going to do. I think the Lakers just are on a mission, and especially with LeBron having an off season last year, like actually having an off season. Like I think they're going to be well rested, a lot to prove, a lot of limelight. They're going to want to outperform the Clippers, especially in the regular season. So I think they're going to be the second best team in the Nuggets. It's just hard to play in Denver. I think they got better. Especially with kind of them retaining their core, like they won't have that lag time, and that might be the difference between them being the number one seed and the three seed, just having a good start to the season.
Adding Jeremy Grant was huge for them, because now they can play smaller if they want to. And he's a guy that can play 30 minutes a game too, so if you ever want to go with like a really small lineup with him at center, he showed in OKC that he's able to do that and switch on to point guards, and he's able to pretty much guard every position besides the really bulky centers. But I didn't have them in my top 1%. So I think I have Utah, Clippers, and
the Lakers.
Lakers, I think I had tier two. Oh,
okay.
Houston.
So who is the best record? Like, let's hear the top three.
I think Houston's going to have the top record in the NBA this year.
Yeah, I was thinking about that, but decided to go away from that.
I think the Jazz will.
Ooh, I like this.
The Jazz are incredible, man. They're going to be so good.
I think the Clippers are going to be the third seed ultimately, because they sit out. You know, they have a lot of man games that are going to be missed with Kawhi and Paul George. But I think ultimately it's going to be Utah and Houston at the top, and I think Houston's going to be 5 wins better.
Oof.
Damn, 5 wins, eh?
Houston's going to have a really good regular season team, for sure. I mean, having those two guys as primary ball handlers and guys that want to play 82 games, that's the biggest key, right? Like, we're only talking about the regular season here, and these guys never want to sit out in games. So if they play 78 to 82 games, I think they're a lock for at least the second seed, if not the first.
And I think a fitting way to maybe even like end this podcast is, who do you think puts up better stats for their like respective careers, Harden or Westbrook?
Well, I mean, it depends how you look at it, right? I mean, triple doubles don't really mean as much in today's game. They look great on paper, though. But ultimately, James Harden's efficiency is, I think, what wins out.
So you think James Harden's going to put up better numbers than Westbrook would, like respectively, like based off of their career averages and kind of like what they're known for?
Yeah, I think people are going to see James Harden as a much better player as Russell Westbrook, ultimately when it's all said and done. Because Westbrook, he had a major dip last year in his efficiency. I'm not sure what happened to him at the free throw line, but he went from like 85 or 82% or so to, what was he last year, like 60?
68, 65. Yeah. Oh. It was brutal to watch him.
And then mid-range, he lost his touch. I think he shot under 36% or so. And before that, I mean, before last year, I think he was at around like 40%+. So at least it was a weapon for him. But last year, teams just didn't care if he took that shot.
Yeah, Harden's definitely going down with better numbers. You know, Raj, when you said like how we're going to end the podcast, I totally thought you were just going to say by just bypassing Lakers talk.
Oh, no, no. Well, we have to give the Lakers the end of the show, right? Like, oh, man. It's only fitting. But I touch upon it. I think they're going to have a lot to prove, especially with LeBron having an off season, like just the rest, recuperate. All this talk about, is he even a top 5 player anymore? Like, they have a lot to prove, and compared to like a team like the Clippers or a team like Utah, where like the focus isn't about winning the regular season, it's about going deep in the playoffs. I think they're going to win like a lot of games and probably have the second best record in the West.
Second best.
Denver, number one. I think they're hard to beat at home, and they have pretty much the same team more or less, and like they have that continuity.
Yeah. No, I have the Lakers as a 2 or 3 seed this year. I think LeBron and Anthony Davis both have a lot to prove this year. Obviously, in different ways. Anthony Davis more wants to just show that he can be healthy for a full year and that he is indeed, how can you say it, like an MVP caliber player, essentially. And LeBron wants to show that he's still LeBron.
And he's a contract, and he's in a contract year, right?
That part doesn't matter. He's gonna get paid no matter what. Like, even if he has a god awful year, or if he sits out half the year like he did last year, some team will pay him no matter what. Right? Like, the potential is all there for him to get paid. And the likelihood of him not getting paid this year is way too low. Like, some scrub team will give him all the money he wants no matter what. I don't think the contract year will affect someone of his caliber.
No, fair enough.
But I think it's more of just him wanting to reestablish his identity in the league, because he was literally forgotten last year. Didn't make any of the All-NBA teams. I don't think he was an All-Star last year. He somehow got the 2K cover, and that's about it.
Yeah, this is a team where, you know, one of those two guys better not go down, because their bench is just, I think it's awful. And plus, it doesn't really fit around those two guys either. I mean, they have a lot of, like, spot-up shooters that don't really do anything else. And those guys can come in handy for, like, minutes at a time, but not to count on for every game during the regular season, especially in the playoffs, too. So I think they're going to have to make a move at the trade deadline to get more reliable players off the bench. And I know that LeBron loves getting his guys paid like KCP, but I just don't see him being a fit either on this team. And Avery Bradley hasn't been good for like 3 years.
Yeah, that guy really fell off after Boston, eh?
Yeah.
What the hell happened there?
Because he was like a primary ball handler on a team that wasn't doing anything, and that team was not even prepared for it. So he's not going to play that role this year. Like, he's going to be a spot up guy who plays defense off the bench. And if he can't spot up, then his defense isn't going to be valuable anyway. And he's been a bad defender the last few years anyway.
Yep. Who starts for this team?
Well, they're going big, right? So they're playing LeBron with Danny Green. And then beyond that, I'm guessing they're going to start Cousins. So you would guess that it's going to be Anthony Davis, and I think Kuzma's going to come off the bench.
Damn. Kuz.
You know, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope starting, but I don't think his shooting is, especially spot-up shooting, is good enough to be a consistent quality guy when it matters.
Oh, man. So you want to have LeBron, Danny, Anthony Davis, Boogie, and I still don't have a point guard.
LeBron?
Rondo? Oh, yeah. I guess LeBron, but de facto. But he still has to... There's no way they're going to let him start at the point.
Well, that's what they said they're doing at the start of the regular season, so why not?
Like, to actually start him there or play him as that? Because every team plays him as a point guard, but no one actually starts him as a point guard. You know what I mean?
They might even start
starting at the point guard.
Oh, man.
Like, it's already been reported that he's going to be the starting point guard next year, and they're going to go big. So, I mean, if they're going to go big, you might as well just commit to it and play Kuzma for free, but I don't know if that's going to work.
That'd be wicked. That'd be the craziest team. No one under 6'6"? Or 6'7", however tall Danny Green is?
Yeah.
That'd be incredible.
I just don't think that you can rely on a guy like Kuzma, though, to guard the best wings in the NBA. So I think you have to start a guy like Kentavious Caldwell-Pope and hope that his defense holds up a little bit.
You don't want to trust LeBron to play defense anymore?
Not the regular season.
Don't you know he's in year 16? 17, 18, whatever year he's in?
He's saving his energy to play with the Sun in 3-4 years.
Man, he's saving his energy for Space Jam, too.
That, too.
He's going to take off weekends just so we can start filming and editing.
And his numerous other projects.
Yeah, well, the shop isn't going to film itself.
Yeah, he's got a game show, too.
What?
He's got a game show on that network that, like, most of his shows are on. He's always promoting it on Twitter, so.
You follow LeBron on Twitter?
I do.
Wow, look at you.
I'm still a LeBron hater, but, you know, I still got to see what's going on.
Look at this guy, plugged into the media game.
I know.
Respect.
And he owns that pizzeria that opened up in Toronto.
Blaze
Pizza, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, it's whatever. Sorry, LeBron. Your pizzas are mediocre. Stick to tacos.
It's Taco Tuesday!
Haha. All right, you got anything else? Anybody? Any wild takes for this year for the West?
the West will have the five best players in the league this year.
Wait, what? Did Giannis die?
Yeah. Fine.
Did Joel Embiid die? Like, what happened?
Joel Embiid, again, you wanted a hot take. That was it. Joel Embiid's not going to stay healthy this year. Giannis is the one I forgot. But everyone else, I'm like, man, the West is just so loaded. It's so easy to focus on how good that conference is.
All right. I'll give you 5 out of 6. Josh, yeah. Give me a hot take about the West.
I just like how teams are going big now and have the ability to go big with Golden State no longer, you know, taking over the NBA with their style of play and needing to play guys that can switch everything. So we're returning to, you know, the Horford, Embiid, front courts, and Anthony Davis, Cousins. That's what excites me going into next year.
You like Twin Towers?
I do. It's different, you know? It's a different look. And it's going back to what the NBA used to be, so at least you have, you know, some options. It's not just every team playing the same way or was trying to play the same way in order to keep up with Golden State.
Yeah, I'm about
it. Yo, but none of these big men bang in the post anymore. It's not even the same.
Exactly, man.
It's useless.
It's like a soft big man game, but you know what? I like post game, or at least close to the rim. It's entertaining.
And I sort of like how Utah's going away from that, too, like playing Boyan at the four because they know they have Rudy back there. So are they going to be able to hold up with Boyan guarding a guy like Cousins or Anthony Davis in the playoffs? Are they going to play some gimmick defense to stop those guys? It's going to be interesting.
That'll be fun to watch. That, yeah, the Jazz will be very interesting to watch. What kind of hot take do I have? How about the Blazers take top 3? Is that hot?
I mean, the Blazers are always healthy throughout the entire year because their backcourt plays 80 games a year. So, I mean, that's not really a hot take.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
I'd say it's pretty hot, though. There's a lot of good teams in the West, so.
Okay, how about this? The Suns will be a top 10 team.
Okay, let's end the podcast. Let's Peter. I think you've reached your limit.
Ricky Rubio, Dario Saric aren't enough. Jamal Crawford is still on the team. Devin Booker healthy.
This is absurdity.
DeAndre Ayton another year.
Jamal Crawford's a free agent.
Oh, they got to bring him back, or else my hot take is useless. I need someone to drop 50 on the last day of the season.
I think the hottest take that makes sense is the Clippers being out of the top 3 just based on load management, which...
I called it.
Yeah.
Yeah, fine. All right, I'm going to call it here, guys. I want to thank everyone for listening. Please remember to rate and subscribe on iTunes. You can also find us on Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, Anchor, all the major podcast platforms. Hit us up on Instagram and Twitter at Stretch4Pod. And until next time, peace.